Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey City Church, welcome back to More Than That. This week was another installment in Psalm 128. I feel like we've been spending more time in 128 than 127.
I agree.
even though Blueprints, or the Household Blueprints, was 127 and 128 of Psalms. So I'm sitting across from Larry Stout here at the church, and Larry, your main focus verse was verse 4, mm-hmm. correct? And this has everything to do with the man of the house, whether that's a single person, married person, or a grandfather. So if you had an extra 10 minutes to introduce something new or dig a little bit deeper into something, what would you have said?
Well, the concept of fear of God is literally one of the most important concepts in Scripture, mm-hmm. and yet we stumble on it because of this word fear, and it's we use the word, but the way we use it and the way the Bible is meaning for what it should represent is very different. And mm-hmm. I tried to emphasize that in my message, but particularly I think I want to try maybe to use an illustration for fear of the Lord, because to me, I really thought about how could I explain that it's not sitting and shivering in a corner, but rather yeah. it's the freedom to do what God wants you to do, mm-hmm. and to understand that that's what we're called to do. We are to obey Him in spite of what the world, the flesh, and the devil might be throwing at us, mm-hmm. and that. Thought as I one of the great advantages, there's not too many, but there is advantages to growing old. And it's funny because honestly it took me till I got to be 70 that I actually realized this. Mm-hmm. All your life you're looking in two different directions. You're living in the present, but you're looking to the future. You've got other things that you're planning and mm-hmm. doing, yeah. and you're reflecting on your past yeah. to a degree. Like, I don't want to do that again. But by the time you hit 70, you're not looking forward to anything. I mean, there's nothing to look forward to, you know? I mean, you're kind of done at that point of all yeah. If you have still things that you're going to, that on your bucket list, you know, better be a short list. But you do look back, and for a lot of people, they look back with regret. Mm-hmm. And just as what really struck me once, I was and I want to use myself as an example of becoming a missionary. My wife and I were pioneer missionaries with three children, two teenage and one was 10 years old. We were certainly not in that realm of mm-hmm. To be a pioneer missionary in 1991, which was the Soviet Union. And virtually everyone that knew us thought that we were crazy. But as sure as I'm sitting here right now, we knew this was what God wanted us to do. Mm-hmm. So even though the world was telling us no, and even our dear friends mm-hmm. Were thinking that, you know, we're just off somewhere, in the fear of the Lord, you understand, Lord, you want us to do this. This is, we're following mm-hmm. you. And even though others don't see it, we have that peace that passes understanding. There's no mm-hmm. understanding of this is a logical thing to do. It's not, it's illogical. But it's a fear of God. Mm-hmm. But what reminds me, it was, I don't know, maybe within that first year we had gone to this. We arrived in January of 1991, and it was somewhere in the fall, somewhere like September, October. I was back just doing some fundraising, really, mm-hmm. and I was at a Methodist church, and just really answering questions and just talking to folks in a, you know, I think it was a Sunday evening kind of program. And when it was over, I was standing by the door shaking hands with people as they were going out. And this old man, and I mean, he had to be at least in his 80s, he looked at me with anger. I mean, it really was. He had this face on him. And he said, and he kind of looked, he got in my face almost, and he had his finger out. And he's wagging at me. He said, "I could have been you. I could have done what you did, but I didn't do it." And then he walked out the door. And I sensed that here was a man that had a call on his life, that God wanted him to do something, and he turned it down. He just he didn't go that direction.
Yeah.
And now I saw a man that had a lot of regret in his life, a lot of what ifs in his life. And if you fear God, you're not going to have that. You're not going to be that person. You're going to be the person that has that comfort of knowing that you obeyed the Lord. And you know what? The results are His. There are people that you know, we you know, encountered. We were there 16 years. There was others that didn't make it as long. They had they had good intentions, and I think maybe perhaps a calling. It didn't work out the way they thought it would. Something maybe with their kids or something. And so they began to wonder, did we do the right thing, blah, blah, blah. And I'd always say, you know, was God calling you? And we're not supposed to see the results even right now. What we'll see is standing before the Father, the Lord, and He'll say either, hopefully, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of my kingdom."
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You had talents that were given to you. Some have more than others. You used them for His glory. Boom. So to me, I think that's, the scripture gives such wonderful promises. How happy or blessed, and I took some time to explain the difference, so not. But how happy is everyone who fears the Lord? I said, we don't use happy and fear in the same context usually, but it belongs there. It really does.
Yeah.
I have that. I'm joyous that God's called me to this, and I'm just going to do it. And we should start there. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So if you're really going to follow the Lord, you got to be, as His disciple, He will sometimes use the unseemly for His glory.
Yeah.
So the fact that, and we were classic illustrations, we were not qualified in any sense of the word, but ironically, what we discovered, that when we arrived and we didn't belong to an organization, that we didn't have an agenda, all we were there for was, we had been invited by the Latvian Children's Fund, which was one of the very, very, I mean, there's only six in the entire country, nonprofit organizations.
Yeah.
And we just, in our thing, they you know, popped us around town, and no matter where we went, whatever organization it was, whatever governmental entity, our standard thing was, what's your greatest need? And sometimes they'd say everything. I said, no. No, you ask for everything, you're going to get everything, and half of it will be crap. Like probably 90% of it will be crap.
Yeah.
What exactly? And they'd say, well, what we really need is X. So then what we did is networked. All over.
Oh,
so
yeah.
These organizations come in. You know what? These guys are looking for this. And so we didn't get the credit per se. We didn't care that we advised them, here, if you would go to this organization with that product or that thing, boom, you're going to find that they're going to be very receptive. So we were the conduits that that the Lord used. Another an organization, they would have come with an agenda and they would have been locked into that.
Yeah.
And so God took people who didn't have any agenda, because we didn't have any idea what we were doing, but we feared God. And we thought, this is what we're supposed to do. That's why we're here. And the Lord just opened up enormous doors. I mean, it was tremendous. But again, I think that has to be kind of front and center with us, fear of God.
Yeah. As you were talking, one of the things that you brought up, especially regarding the fear of God. And I brought this up, at least with Raphael in the past. I'm not sure if I've brought it up with you or not, but it's something that I was introduced to by Sean McDowell, one of my professors, and it was in his book, Chasing Love, which is over here on our shelf.
Check it out.
Shameless plug for those of you that do go to City Church and you're listening to this. Mm. Go check out that book. It's really good. But he introduces this concept of freedom to versus freedom from. And within the fear of God, we don't have freedom from God. Mm-hmm. We're not fearing him in that way. We're fearing him in a way that we have freedom to do X, Y, Z.
Well, that's a great analogy.
And
yes.
Granted, in the book, he's talking about biblical sexuality and things like that, but it's so translatable to the fear of God and how we are to be living our Christian life in the sense of freedom too, especially when the world is saying, no, we need to be free from X, Y, Z, whatever you want to throw after from. But then also then you is it because that older guy that was shaking his finger at you and saying like, I could have been you, but I didn't. It reminded me of a band called Sleeping Giant. They're like one of the pioneers in Christian metal, which is near and dear to my heart.
Oh, yes, yes.
And we used to have shows in the basement, and that's how I got introduced to City Church.
Right.
But also, he's a very committed Christian, now a pastor. But one of the things that he said just in a random interview I was watching, he basically was saying that if God calls you to do something and you don't do it, he's going to fill that. He's going to fill that need with somebody else.
Yes.
So
yes.
I can only imagine what was going through that man's head and saying, yes, I could have been you, but then I got to watch somebody else be used by God in this, in the exact same way that God was calling me to do. And as a missionary myself, I'm like, that hits hard. Was that at any point like something that you guys were thinking about, like as you were moving and getting ready to go to Latvia, where it's like, hey, you know, if we don't do this, somebody else is going to do it. But we want to take that risk?
Actually, that never, to be honest, I guess it was just part of it. I guess I got to back up. I had a nice suburbia church. I had a nice middle class. We were all middle class American. In fact, almost every one of our children went to the local Christian school. I was even board president of that school. Everything was nice and comfortable. I mean, we didn't do anything that had any risk. I mean, we were a church that, you know, just met on Sunday and, you know, had home groups. And boring is what it was. But, I mean, I shouldn't say that. But, I mean, it was traditional suburbia America Christianity. And everybody felt comfortable, and I felt comfortable, except I wasn't comfortable. There was something just edge, sort of like you get a stone in your shoe, you know, and you just can't, it just annoys you. I knew I was supposed to be doing something more, but I didn't know what that more was. I had no idea what it was, but I just thought, I'm restless. And yet, a lot of people would be jealous of what I'm at right now.
Yeah.
I think this is a dream, but it wasn't my dream. I just thought I'm missing something. I didn't know what it was. My church was about an hour, or about maybe a mile, if that, from Valley Forge National Park. So that I would eat lunch down there. I'd go down, take a little bag lunch, and I'd be sitting under a tree saying, "Lord, you talk to George here. Couldn't you talk to me? I mean." I don't know.
Yeah.
Something's not right, Lord. And I feel bad that I feel this way.
Yeah.
So God was preparing me that I went to this conference, a pastor's conference, that I was invited to, ironically, and I'm almost embarrassed to say this, but I had this African-American pastor
mm-hmm.
that was a friend, and he invited me to his conference. I honestly thought that everybody at the conference was going to be black mm. and I'd be the only white guy. But yeah. I thought, I don't care. Well, it was just the opposite. He was the only black guy. Oh, everybody was white. It was kind of odd. But lo and behold, it was, and now this is 1988. I mean, I'm really dating mm-hmm. myself in this. But they had a little presentation of some Bible smuggling into the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a little video that wasn't more than 5 minutes that they showed of it. And I just was fascinated. And they said, you know, if anybody wants to, you know, be one of these folks, mm-hmm. You know, we could use help. So I went up afterwards and said, I'd like to do that. How can I do it? And they said, well, you know, we got training in Pittsburgh. I'm in mm-hmm. the Philly area. And it's in 2 months. I said, okay, I'll be there. I came home. Wife said, how was the conference? I said, great. I'm going to Russia. She said, yeah. She says, great. I'm going to the moon. And it seemed as logical.
No, knowing your wife, that is probably exactly what she said.
That she did say exactly that. I'm going to the moon. But I went, and it was, I don't know, probably 25, 30 people at that conference.
Yeah.
I mean, at the training.
Mm-hmm.
Two of us out of that group actually wow. went. Everybody was sort of into the ooh-ah part of it. But when they realized, this is not playing around, you know, mm-hmm. this is, and, but I couldn't explain it. I could not explain. I just had this drive, and it kind of goes all the way back to maybe, as I remember now, my freshman year when somebody gave me a book called God Smuggler.
Mm-hmm.
First Christian book I ever read mm. was God Smuggler by Brother Andrew, and it was about a guy from Holland that smuggled Bibles into behind the Iron Curtain.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was fascinated with that, I thought. And I remember now praying, Lord, if you would have me do that someday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 18 years later, here I am doing it. and just now here again. Now here I am sitting in Finland, ready the next day to go into, we're going to take a ferry into Tallinn, Estonia, USSR. I've never done an illegal, I've never broken a law in my life. I'm going to smuggle Bibles into the country.
Yeah.
This is a felony. I could go mm-hmm. to prison.
Yeah.
It never quite occurred to me. And that, you know, Larry, this is real.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I won't say there was just fear, but I'm just thinking, Lord, I need strength here. I mean, mm-hmm. I need
yeah.
more than
yeah.
I got. And I had this peace come upon me that, you know, that the Lord said, I'm with you. You know, mm-hmm. I just had that. I thought, okay. So here I go. I might have told this story to you before, but here I am. First time I'm in Soviet Union, going to the customs.
Mm-hmm.
You got to put your carry-on, actually your luggage too. And it's going to go through the x-ray machine.
Mm-hmm.
So I had two suitcases, and I put them up there, and then I had my carry-on bag,
mm-hmm.
and the guy, he spoke English, and he said, not very good English, but he mm-hmm. could, do you have any gold, was the first thing he asked, and that's because they're really big on gold. If you can't bring gold out unless you know, like a ring.
Like a wedding band.
Wedding band, that's why I said I got a wedding band. He said, okay, wrote that down. Do you have any religious material? And I looked at him and I said, you know, I think I do. And I opened my carry-on and I pulled out my Bible. Mm-hmm. I said, yes, this is my Bible. And I opened it up
mm-hmm.
and he shoved me away. Okay. You know, like pushing me back with his hand, so to speak, grabbed this, wrote, you know, cleared, and gave me my pass. I mean, mm-hmm. it's like he was afraid of me almost.
Yeah, wow.
Well, what was funny was I had it, so I took it and took the, which had about 200 Bibles in them, I took them off the x-ray carrier through mm-hmm. because I already had my pass. So I walked out with the Bible without even being clear. I mean, they would have shown up on the x-ray.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But they didn't get, so anyway, that was, I just thought, and I thought, Lord, you did exactly what
wow.
you said. I didn't lie. I told the truth and I got the Bibles in
mm-hmm.
and that trip changed my life. Wow. It absolutely changed my life because I was so impressed with the faith of these people
mm-hmm.
But also, they kept talking about their children, how they were concerned about the health of their children, particularly they, baby aspirin, you know, they didn't have that. And decided we could have, so I went, when I said to Debbie, I said, you know, if we ever go back again, we ought to take some, you know, something for children medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, what we ended up doing then was answering a call, this children's, Latvia Children's Fund,
mm-hmm.
was really ones that work with orphanages.
Yeah.
And so we were going to help supply them with those things and with disabled children, which my wife, you know, that's her field. So mm-hmm. in the process of that, we are then interacting with all kinds of government people mm-hmm. and obviously then churches as well.
Yeah.
It was a perfect design to which we didn't design. But if you, again, I kind of come back to, and this is why all the glory has to go to God.
Yeah.
Because we're not that smart. We didn't know all that things. And mm-hmm. how God orchestrated these things step by step.
Yeah.
So again, I think it's to fear God, to me, is this concept of recognizing that just like the example I used in Exodus 1, the midwives, who were able to challenge the most powerful man in the world because they feared God. If God is telling me this is, and mm-hmm. you'd say, how do you know? I don't know. You know that you know. It's just, there is a sense that it's a peace that passes understanding.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something that the Lord is saying. You really should be within a community of people that can affirm you. That's the ideal thing. And mm-hmm. I did have a small group of my elders and whatever. So we were, but they still also thought I was a little bit nutty, but but at least they understood I wasn't doing this for ego's sake. It wasn't like I'm trying to make a name. They realized Larry isn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they recognized, we don't know quite what's going on, but we know that the Lord is behind us.
Yes.
So they were supporting that and making it happen. Mm-hmm. 75% of the people that supported us in the beginning
mm-hmm.
were still supporting us 16 years later.
Wow.
Which, if you know about missions, that's
unheard of.
That's unheard of.
Yeah.
But these were the people that recognized, you know what, there's something that, mm-hmm. that we recognize here. So this is my more than that. I just think, please, please, please recognize that there is nothing better than obeying the Lord and recognizing that, yes, you are going to, especially if you're doing something that's really important for the kingdom, mm-hmm. I guarantee you, you're going to get a lot of feedback or a lot of you know, people not agreeing with you, and they might mm-hmm. be even your friends. It might be people that you love and trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's you have to have that, as I said, peace that passes understanding. That mm-hmm. you recognize that you know, if I fear the Lord, I have peace. I have happiness. I have joy. I'm going to walk this out. And it's not a guarantee of perfect results. That's the last thing I got to let you know. Because there were things that we would have thought. I mean, just real quick, one other example is a lot of people were making a lot of money because you were able to buy property at almost nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because people wanted, they needed money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you could buy up a lot of stuff and make a lot of money down the road. And we were considering that. We were really, I had this, I was working in education at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we were literally, I was almost given this really downtown. I mean, it was right mm-hmm. almost in the center of the city, really nice property. That we could have got for virtually nothing, and knowing some contractors, probably for, I don't know, $10,000, could have built a really mm-hmm. nice building that would have been a headquarters. It would have been mm-hmm. fantastic. If I would have taken advantage of that in 91, 92,
mm-hmm.
by the time we left, it would have probably been worth half a mil at least.
Wow.
I mean, it was the property value just went skyrocketing. But you know what? I am so glad, because we would have been wrapped up in all that. That would have diverted us from a lot of other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it would have, tied us down to that one particular location. And we were much more broader than that.
Mm-hmm.
So in one sense, God didn't want us. I mean, I had a, how do you want to say? It seemed in all logic the best thing to do, but I had something isn't right about it, and I just couldn't get past that.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, we'll just wait. That was my, and eventually that, it just went away. But anyway, those are the things that as I look back on, I didn't even prepare to say anything about that, but I'm just trying to assure people that things aren't always, this is not a promise of a perfect life, because mm-hmm. it might end up in your sacrificing your life.
Yeah, but I mean, because in the next, literally in the next verse, you may see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Like, prosperity within a biblical sense isn't what we see in America as health, wealth, right. and
everything
and
else.
Anything else,
like,
yeah.
Like, oh, health, wealth, and everything else.
Yeah, yeah. It's not necessarily that. That right. might be a part of it, because, like, exactly. I mean, you were involved in the business world. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're doing your business faithfully, as well as according to Scripture, you're probably going to end up with health and wealth and everything else. Mm-hmm. Like, but that's just the nature of the business that you're in.
Right.
Flip it. If you're doing that exact same thing in as like a pastor, you're not. Mm-hmm. You might have good health because, you know, you're being faithful with what you're given and stewarding your body correctly, but you might not be the wealthiest guy in town in a monetary sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
You probably might be the wealthiest guy in town relationally and just with how much relational capital you have with the people in your church, but also with God.
Mm.
So then which one do we value more? Do we value monetary prosperity or do we value relational prosperity vertically and horizontally?
That is so true.
And I think that that's just really, really, it places the fear of the Lord, especially in verse 4, on the man who's, you know, you brought up like the roles and stuff like that and in the household and how, yes, the man's supposed to be leading, but he can't lead well without a good wife and children that are also kind of there supporting him as well.
Absolutely.
But that blessing is all coming at the tail end because those things need to be in place. And it's like, once you get all of these things in place, then we can see that prosperity really, really start to come in and really come into play. The only other thing that I was thinking about, because you brought up Pilgrim's Progress, which I've never read, but...
Shame on you!
I'm sorry. But it reminded me of The Hobbit. Yeah. At least the part that we're talking
about. Yeah, actually, that's a good point.
And maybe Tolkien had some inspiration from Bunyan there, because, Bunyan was definitely before Tolkien.
Yeah, definitely.
But as what it reminded me of was the path that Bilbo and the dwarves were on, and going through the forest, they thought it was going to be quicker and easier.
Yeah.
It looked smoother to just go off the path and follow the elves. But what they ended up finding out was that it was the elves that were trying to trick them.
Yeah.
And because they didn't trust them.
Mm.
So if they would have stayed on that, which was already a very narrow path considering the rest of the forest, if they would have stayed there and stayed in that fear of the path, then they would have gotten through a lot quicker than they did.
Yeah.
But when I'm thinking about it, like, your smooth path, that shortcut or whatever, was Norristown. You chose to follow the bumpy path. But
here's the thing, though. You know, it looks bumpy. And, yeah, it is. There's times when, you know, you're stepping on, you know, rocks and it hurts the feet. But I don't know. There's a sense if you really are following it, you kind of get past those kind of things.
Yeah.
If you're focused on your feelings, so to speak, you are going to get off. Mm-hmm. But if I'm focused on the path, mm-hmm. and just while we're talking, I just remember mm-hmm. so many things. This I really ought to write all this down, but just the
it's
amazing.
Recorded. It's okay.
I didn't know. I really didn't. I was so naive in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And here I am. I have to prepare. We are planning now to move to the Soviet Union. So now I don't need I'm not asking for a tourist visa. I'm asking for a resident visa, which is a whole different mm-hmm. animal.
Yeah.
And so they have on it your occupation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'd always put in my ones with my other times, I would put down marriage counselor, which was true because I probably did more marriage counseling as a pastor than anything else.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, I'm telling the truth.
Yeah.
But now I'm thinking, but as I'm literally filling it out, I'm ready to fill this thing out, mm-hmm. and the Philadelphia Inquirer, and I still have the paper. Front page was the Russian Duma officially disavows atheism as national religion.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of in a sense. And I thought, oh, so they're not going to be against atheists. I mean, against Christians anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to write down pastor on my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Larry. It would be 2 years before that idea ever filtered down to the ground level where they're mm-hmm. going to actually be open in mm-hmm. religion. Things do not happen in America that fast, and I guarantee you they don't happen very fast in the USSR.
Yeah.
I am the stupidest person in the world. That visa should have got thrown out
mm-hmm.
instantly. But again, because God's is God, and it somehow, and to this day, no one could quite figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
It must have gone to Moscow and just somehow slipped through the cracks. No one actually really approved it or disapproved it. And somehow it got sent to Riga. Well, Riga, Latvia, the mm-hmm. capital, when the KGB there got it, they assumed that it had been approved.
So
they just passed it,
yeah.
you know, approved it, and,
wow.
and boom, go.
Wow.
So now I got my, and I'm, so when I arrived and they saw pastor, the KGB wanted to kick me out. They said, wait a minute, what's this? This guy can't be coming mm-hmm. as a missionary. We don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But then they had to, and so they did. They were trying to track back how this happened. And I probably can't tell too much, but mm-hmm. I did have some associates, shall we say, that I knew kind of what was going on in some of the areas
mm-hmm.
of
yeah.
that we're not allowed yeah. to talk about. Anyway, I guess we could talk about it now, but and no one could figure it out,
mm-hmm.
honestly. Even the KGB just then, it was a glitch.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A glitch.
Yeah. Which glitches happen?
Which glitches happen, but it just happened. It just happened to happen to Larry
mm-hmm.
and for his family. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been able to get in.
Yeah.
And see how, and it was those kind of things
mm-hmm.
that gave us confidence that we were in the right place at the right time. That it was those kind of things that affirmed for us that, yeah, we didn't have an organization. We didn't have any kind of
mm-hmm.
influence per se.
Yeah.
We didn't know the vice president of the United States or anybody. You know, we don't have those kind of
yeah.
things. But we're representing the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to try and help you the best way we can.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave us courage that really God uses the unseemly. He uses the, you know, those that you mm-hmm. wouldn't imagine, and
mm-hmm.
praise God. So all the glory
yeah.
goes to Him.
Which still reminds me of The Hobbit.
Well, you know,
Bilbo was
and
most
you
unseemly.
Know.
He was the most unseemly.
And
Hobbit.
Tolkien said that. Tolkien, in one of his articles I read about him, it said that he purposely made these the most.
Mm-hmm.
They were, you know, like rabbits is kind of what it was.
Basic,
you know, just animals
yeah.
that you don't even notice. Or they're
mm-hmm.
they're worthless. They're not
yeah.
good for anything. And so a hobbit is just they just exist. There's no
mm-hmm.
no real purpose to them.
Pairing up with the warrior dwarves.
Yes, right. And to then compare them that they would be able to actually save Middle Earth. You know,
but then also see him, which is then another. I think it may have been Tolkien's play on the Christ motif
mm.
within the whole series there, and you know, Frodo end up being that Christ-like figure. Mm-hmm. But being with that, then the warriors, the dwarves, mm-hmm. who are the warriors of at least that storyline, mm-hmm. they ended up respecting him more than they did their own king.
Mm-hmm.
Even the
mm-hmm.
king respected Bilbo
yeah,
because of all of the things that he just randomly so happened to be able to do, he was just cunning and smart and was able to sit back mm-hmm. and think about something.
And that Jesus would come mm-hmm. as a carpenter's son in a one-dog town, Nazareth. Yeah. And Nazareth to this day is still a one-dog town. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's really.
I've never been there.
It's really not a, mm-hmm. a tourist haven. It's pretty. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
you know, that it just speaks of God. I mean, just mm-hmm. how just beautiful how mm-hmm. he would submit himself to the most humble imaginable conditions.
Which I think is, you know, pulling it back into the life of the everyday Christian,
mm-hmm.
you know, like none of us feel worthy to mm-hmm. be mm-hmm. in the positions that we are usually.
Mm-hmm.
Like position that I have right now, I don't feel worthy enough to do it. I don't feel educated enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I want to go back to school. But also just, I know there's people in this area that have been involved in the stuff that I'm doing a lot longer than I have. So why aren't they doing it? Why didn't God call them but he called me and all of those things. But it doesn't have to be something in ministry. It could be, you know, God calling you to take a lower, maybe even like a lower paying job to humble you a little bit so you can spend more time with your family.
Yeah.
Or absolutely. Calling you to take that promotion, which would end up, it might be a harder taxing thing on your schedule and on your time.
Mm.
But again, looking forward, it's also going to provide you that ability to build into your family later on down the road. And whatever, just don't be afraid to say, like, and yes to, hey, I'm going to choose to follow you rather than everybody else. I almost did more Hobbit Tolkien analogies, but I didn't want to belabor that too much. Yeah, Larry, this was a really, really good conversation. And just want to remind...
You're a good host.
Oh,
you bring out the best.
Thank you. But I want to just remind those of you that are listening, like, hey, this is not a replacement for the Sunday sermon or being involved in a local church. Or being involved in home groups. We just started our home groups up. So get involved there. If you're not involved in any of that, we encourage you, even if it's not at our church. We just want you to get involved in a good, biblically-based, Christ-centered church so that we can learn to better fear God in the midst of company rather than by ourselves. So, Larry... Thank you for the conversation. Thank you for the sermon. And we will see you all next week.